John F. Kennedy, The London Story, is a new book by Bernard A. Marshall about the visits of the future president to London just after his 21st birthday. Here to tell us more about it and the impact it had on the life is the author of John F. Kennedy, The London Story, Bernard A. Marshall. Bernard, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Nice to speak to you.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Tell us a little bit about the background of this, because obviously his father was the American ambassador to the UK at the time.
Yes, that's right. He was appointed ambassador by Roosevelt in March 1938. Unusual posting for an Irishman to London, but he was, I think, twisting the lion's tail. So he arrived, and a few months later, young John, who was studying at Harvard then as a first-year student, came to join the rest of the family for the summer holidays.
And what was, I mean, what was, you noticed, you mentioned that it was twisting the tail a little bit. It was a controversial appointment, wasn't it? Because would it be safe to say was Kennedy Senior not a huge fan of the Brits?
He wasn't particularly anti-British, as some people seem to have thought, and some history portrays him. He was more a kind of a businessman who just dealt with people on a business basis, and that's what got him into trouble in London eventually as ambassador. He didn't have diplomatic finesse or the right reaction to the way Hitler was developing, and unfortunate thing was he sided with Chamberlain instead of Churchill, and that was a fascinating story about John Kennedy, his son, what happened there.
Indeed, but we talk about John Kennedy, but when the Kennedy family first arrived, it was the sister, wasn't it, who was the main focus of attention?
I'm glad you mentioned her. Yeah, she's a fabulous heroine in my book, really. When I visited the Kennedy Center and did my research there about 6 or 7 years ago, I remember one of the librarians telling me Kit Kennedy, his sister, was his favorite Kennedy of the lot. And I can see why. She was kind of, when she arrived in London, she was so popular, she was the sort of leading debutante of the year. And she was popular with all the girls and the boys. They all fell in love with her. And she was kind of the mirror image of John Kennedy. They were kindred spirits.
Presented at court, and for those who don't know, I mean, this was a big occasion, wasn't it, every year, that young women would be, well, as the saying goes, that they would be, I mean, how can we describe presented at court, Bernard?
Well, it was young girls of a certain class coming out in the world at the age of 18 or 19, I guess, being presented to the world. And some cynically said it was like a sort of selling off to the best husband match, making sure they all stayed within the same elite group.
So Kennedy Jr., John F. Kennedy, has got a fascination with England, primarily through sort of medieval folklore, that sort of stuff. I mean, explain a little bit about that, please.
Well, the strange thing is, and the thing I, as I wrote the book and I learned more about him, was a kind of, from the very start almost, these peculiar instances. He, for example, loved Ivanhoe and all the stories of King Arthur. And so he loved British history and ancient British history and deeds of noble warriors. And I wondered why that happened, and I can only put it down to the fact that he spent a lot of time in bed ill. He wasn't a very healthy young man, and in later life, he looked youthful and healthy, but he actually had lots of health problems.
And it's interesting, because obviously the Arthurian legend and Camelot, and of course, you know, Kennedy's court, if you like, at Martha's Vineyard, and that period of time, you know, which is seen by some as a bright, is called Camelot.
Indeed, the whole myth, and Kennedy himself was a romantic, and I think that stems from the fact, and I try to sort of understand it myself, when a young boy is confined to bed a lot, he has lots of time to dream and imagine, and nothing is better than when you're sort of isolated and a bit incapacitated to think of being a hero in some great battle, saving the nation, even, or individuals, or a beautiful lady.
Yeah, and talking of beautiful ladies, I had no idea about this, but he... I mean, obviously, he's moving in high circles, his father being the ambassador, but he has tea with the to-be future queen.
Well, yep, that's at the age of 13. they were sharing a cup of tea. She 13, he about 20, I think, 21, as you say. He arrived on his 21st birthday. And he was making fun of it and light of it. But it's quite extraordinary to see one moment he's having tea with a young teenager and then coming to visit Britain in 1961 was the first visit, where he engages with the Queen on a formal basis. President, she is Queen. So I wonder what they spoke about.
And what, there's a story as well about him leaving Berlin. Again, this it's full of information that we kind of think we know, Candy, but we don't. But so did he visit Berlin? Was it a family visit to Berlin? Was there representation being made? I mean, explain a little bit about that, please.
Well, young John Kennedy, and part of the point of writing the book is I wanted to show how he acquired his skills and his leadership qualities, and you know what made him special and different. And I really launched onto the fact he did such a lot. He was curious. So the first thing he did was, in 1938 and 37 before then even, go on a tour of Europe, visiting Germany and Italy and all the some of the fascist countries at that time to gain information and just to see what was happening in the land. The Berlin visit you mentioned refers to his second time in London when he was working as a student come diplomatic assistant to his father. And his father sent away on a fact-finding tour. And so he toured lots of places, including Jerusalem. But Berlin, he arrived at just the last week before the war started, which was extraordinary. And he went to the American embassy and received a briefing. And they gave him a letter, which stated in that letter, which is top secret at the time, we anticipate war would be declared within the week. Germany intends to invade Poland. So it wasn't known in official circles. Lots of detail like that, and he was the one carrying the message back to London to his father.
Here's an interesting thing, Bernard, from the book. We mentioned this infatuation, if you like, with England and its and families and aristocracy and recreation. And in later life, family becomes. I mean, we know of the reputation of perhaps his extramarital activity, shall we say, and because we were before the 12 o'clock watershed, but. The idea of family is very important to him in terms of obviously with his brothers, etc., and his sister. And you argue that his experience in the UK perhaps reinforced that belief in family, and he could draw upon his family when it came to the huge crisis that he would face in his short presidency, Berlin Wall and the Cuban Missile Crisis.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I'm impressed with how much you know without having spoken to you before about this subject. It's rather good. You must be a keen Kennedy fan too. Well, I understand quite.
I'm that worst creature, an armchair historian. But anyway, go on.
But you're right. When he arrived in London, the ambassador arrived. The father, Joe Kennedy, he was titled the diplomat arrived, the nine children ambassador. He had nine children, so it's a big family. And as you say, they really did support each other. And I think at one point, Joe Kennedy, the father, took his sons to visit the Ford Motor Company. And there were two Fisher brothers who designed the cars. And he said, I've taken you here to meet the Fisher brothers to show what two brothers can do as opposed to just one, two brothers together. So he's always very keen on people working and reinforcing each other. And the British aristocratic life resembled what Kennedy understood, that the aristocrats kind of form a circle and are always supporting each other, reinforcing each other, going back to their past, and they're interrelated so much too. So it was a closed circle of aristocrats that Kennedy met, and he really flowered in that environment, and that was the two summers he spent here, which really engendered that.
And how do you do the research for this? Because again, it's fascinating. It really throws up, because I would always automatically think Kennedy. He makes that trip to Ireland, of course, during his presidency, which is fated in the whole thing, and he's drawing on his Irish roots. But this London puts a little bit more of a twist, and especially again with Kit as well, because it sort of fleshes out the man, doesn't it, more than the two dimensional character that we know now.
Oh, quite. As I mentioned, secret motivation. Young John Kennedy himself wasn't destined to be the president. I mean, father wanted his eldest son to do that job. And as you know, the eldest son got blown up in a bombing mission towards Germany, taking off from Cornwall. So it kind of fell on his shoulders. But so he was kind of the next one in line to try to become president. But he himself, I don't felt he wanted that role. He wasn't that happy to just follow his father's footsteps. But what he what happened was then, I think, that the secret motivation that his sister gave him, the drive that she gave him, which is part of the central core of the book, was the thing that made him strive for doing a good job as president and strive for that post that his elder brother was going to hold.
What do you hope the people will take from the book, The London Story?
Two things. One, and why I wrote the book was partly, he was my boyhood hero, and I thought, how does he become such a great president? How is he such a great man? What in his youth, in his younger days, gave him the chance to use his talents and to really explore them? And it comes down to hard work and experience. And in his case, he had both. And he had a better chance to experience things at the beginning of the war. He saw how Churchill rose. He saw how Chamberlain failed. So when he, for example, had to face down Khrushchev over Cuba, that understanding from an early age and his experiences when he was 21, 22, 23, really impacted the way he made decisions later, which was so valuable. So it's kind of for young people, you've got to kind of stretch yourself, experience things, go out, and really push yourself in that direction. Because what you do then, in those first years around the 21 mark, is kind of going to impact the way you turn out later. That was one point. The second point was the golden time of politics. It was such an optimistic, wonderful time. I was 15 when he died, and we all felt, even at that young age, the presidency of America, this president, was somebody special who could communicate with us, who meant something. When he said something, they were words that we understood. We knew they were genuine. Today's politics doesn't quite have that same feel at all. So it's kind of looking back to a time to show young people especially that actually we can have better politics and we can have inspirational politics, and it's a noble adventure to be a politician.
A noble adventure to be a politician, indeed. The book is called John F. Kennedy, The London Story. It's by Bernard A. Marshall. It's available as a virtual book, as a virtual download from our own virtual bookstore. Are you online, Bernard? Can people find you online?
Yes, it's simply my name, Bernard Marshall at hotmail.com. I've just got a website which I just developed for this, which is jfknlondon.org.uk.
Wonderful. The book is called John F. Kennedy, The London Story. Bernard, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning.
I'm delighted to speak to somebody so knowledgeable on Kennedy, and thank you very much for the interview, and sorry about my London cold, very typical.
It's quite all right. Bernard, thank you so much for your time today.